For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today.
By starting you, has there ever been a time in your life that you were preparing for an event that you wanted to be absolutely? Maybe it was a wedding, a birthday celebration, a surprise party, graduation. You know what I'm saying? You wanted everything to be in order, perfect, no problems whatsoever. Now, granted, I ask that daily, but an event, something special, you spend time planning every detail. Maybe you even clean your house a little bit more than you do on a daily basis. Okay. And I can recall a time period in my life when my mother would come to visit me. I would end up breaking out in hives. She loved to vacuum every day. She washed the top of the door frames and the windowsills weekly, the baseboards weekly. And she did a wonderful job keeping our house clean. I mean, she really did. And but me, I still struggle with that. I don't know the last time I washed a door frame. Does remind me I probably need to do that during some time. I don't know when. But I'd get so worked up and so worried about having everything absolutely perfect that I lost sight of why she was there, and that was to visit and to have fellowship with one another. But I digress. And so today, our passage, we're going to learn about two sisters that they're very different. One of the two wanted things to be absolutely perfect. And the other, she just wanted to kind of sit and listen. So our passage comes from Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42, Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. These verses may be familiar to some of you, and some of you may be hearing this for the very first time. But whichever way that is, I just pray that you receive these words fresh and you learn something new for them. But let's start out with just a brief word of prayer, and then we'll dive into God's word tonight. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. And Lord, we invite you here with us right now. We ask that you come and you sit with us. And ultimately, Lord, let us sit at your feet. Let us hear what you want us to hear through these verses, Lord. We thank you for this time. And in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Let's read these together. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me do all of the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. I was friends with Jesus, and they lived in Bethany, which is actually about 2 miles from Jerusalem, right near the Mount of Olives. Not that this is great importance, but I kind of like to set the scene for you. Okay. Mary and Martha were very different. The two had different focuses. Okay. Martha was the sister who wanted things to be perfect for Jesus's visit. Now, I'm not sure how things were about this. I feel that Martha and Mary had heard that Jesus was coming. Somehow, our text doesn't tell us this. But I want us to look at Martha first. She wanted things in order. She wanted things perfect. She wanted everything prepared perfectly, much like Jewish women did when they prepared a meal. They wanted everything in order and perfectly taken care of. Now, there is not anything wrong with wanting to pay attention to details. Okay? When we invite someone into our home or they come for a visit, we want things to be nice for them. We want them to be comfortable. We want them to feel welcomed and loved. Okay? There is nothing wrong with that. However, do we lose sight of the reason they're there? To visit and enjoy each other's company. Okay? Martha had lost a little bit of sight for Jesus' visit. Mary, however, though, like I said, she helped with the preparations. She was ready just to sit and listen. She didn't care about everything else that was going on. Now, Martha was distracted from Jesus. There was a distraction there. Our verses tell us this. For a moment, I want to address anyone who is more about serving than taking time to sit and listen. And again, there is nothing wrong with service. Nothing. In fact, we should serve at some point in time, each one of us. However, some people like to serve and serve and serve. And oftentimes, their service becomes irritable. Maybe they get fussy because nobody else is stepping up. We are guilty of saying, well, they'll take care of it, and we don't go take care of it. And sometimes that resentment starts settling in. I've been there. I know I have felt that way. We get fussy. We get irritable. I know I've done that, and I have to take a step back, take a breath, relax, and ask for help, something we don't like doing, and reset. When we become irritable with our serving, we lose sight of who we're serving, Jesus. You know, our hearts can become hardened and angry and frustrated. And let me tell you, Satan loves nothing more than someone who gets angered and frustrated when it comes to serving God. He delights in it, in fact. He delights in that. And we just have to stop and know that we're making Satan happy, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We want to make Jesus happy. And we can sink, into that sinful pattern. Now, I don't want to say we, but I know that's me. I'm going to include myself in here. I'm going to throw myself under the bus on that one. But I venture to say at some point in our lives, we've gotten to that point. We must learn that balance between serving and sitting. It's hard to do. I was raised to always serve, 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 and you rest later. And sometimes that rest never came. I was raised to put everyone first, and you worry about yourself last. And I started getting bitter and filled up with anger and frustration. I had to learn that balance. You know, when we lived in Texas on Friday nights after the football games, our house became the house that everybody came to afterwards. We'd have upwards of 30 people, ranging from 15 up to 40, 45 years old, coming and going all night until about, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was our way. And for the first couple of times, I worried that everything would be in order and everything would be perfect. And after a few weeks of that, I learned, hey, as long as there's bathroom essentials and snacks on the table and we know where kids are, I'm just going to sit and visit and build some relationships. And it became a lot easier to build that relationship, sit and listen to one another versus serve, serve, serve. Mary, on the other hand, as I said, Mary helped. I would be fully, wrong if I said she didn't. She probably helped a little bit. But when things were ready and things were out on the table, she sat back and she just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and ultimately worship. She was ready for that. Martha, with her busy self, Mary didn't even worry about it. Mary realized there was one thing that was more important, and that was Jesus and Jesus alone. Verse 41 makes me giggle. It kind of makes me think of the Brady Bunch when Jan goes, "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia," but I know it wasn't in a whiny voice that Jesus said this. He said, "Martha, Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things." I see Jesus kind of smirking a little bit when he says that. He's just like, "Martha, Martha, really? You're too worried about some things." But here's the deal. He repeated her name. He wanted to draw her into this intimacy of saying, "Hey, listen to me. This is not important. There's only one thing that is." And what is that one thing? We question ourselves. I want you to just jot these verses down. You can look at them yourself later on. Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple." And then Luke chapter 18, verse 22. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And lastly, but not least, in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press onward to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Those one things. The one thing. Charles Spurgeon, great theologian, said, the one thing needful evidently in that which Mary chose, that good part which should be taken away from her. Very clearly, this was to sit at the Jesus's feet and hear his words. Mary chose that one thing that was absolutely needed, and that was to sit and listen. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we are showing that we are ready to accept Jesus' teaching. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we show submission to Jesus. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we show that we have faith in who Jesus is. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we are expressing our discipleship. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we're showing love to Jesus. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we can stand against the troubles of tomorrow. We talk about wanting revival. We talk about this quite a bit as Christians. Well, a good awakening in a worship service, an event that inspires people to learn about Jesus, about his love and forgiveness. Well, guess what? That sits with us. We're the ones that have to start this, sitting at the feet of Jesus. We talk about wanting unity. Well, guess what? It starts with us sitting at the feet of Jesus. We want to reach the world. with the good news. Guess what? It starts with us sitting at the feet of Jesus. There are so many types of people in this world. Those that sit at the feet of Jesus, the Marys. But there are also the Marthas who serve diligently and have a great intentions. But without that one thing and continued focus on Jesus, they just get frustrated and angered. Then there are the others who do neither. They aren't in the house of the Lord. They just don't know Jesus. They haven't entered into that relationship with him. Maybe they're too busy running around trying to figure it all out for themselves before they get to know Jesus and sit at his feet. So I'm asking you, which are you? Are you the server, the listener, the server and the angered, the one who just has to get life right before you do either? The one who serves and listens. You keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it. Serve. Listen. If you're serving and wearing yourself down to the point of being so angered, I implore for you to stop and rest at the feet of Jesus. Those who are listening or watching, if you're not yet believers, and you're rushing around trying to get everything perfect before you sit at the feet of Jesus and present yourself before him, stop. Jesus doesn't want you to work so hard to be perfect before you enter into a relationship with him. Because let me tell you, you're never going to be perfect that way. If you're messed up, if you're discombobulated, you're unorganized, whatever adjective you want to throw in there, just stop at the feet of Jesus. He wants you exactly where you are at this moment. He wants you to enter into a relationship with him, into his presence, and let him shape you into his perfection. But it starts with sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. I think I've told y'all this story once before. I was driving to Seminole, and I was just a fussing. Nobody else was in the car but me and God. And I had stopped in Stratford at the fruit stand, and I got back in the car, and I was just like, pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up. And I said, Lord, I need some answers, and I need them now. And I had no voice. All of a sudden, I mean, voice gone like that. And I kind of chuckled to myself. I said, okay, I felt your hand across my mouth to shut up. And I just spent about the next 30, 40 minutes driving through Asher and Maud, back roads to Seminole. And then I heard God's voice. And I just said, thank you. My voice came back when I said, thank you. Sometimes I've got to be reminded to shut up and listen. Because sometimes I feel like, yeah, you know. But anyway, I did have a couple of questions. Excellent. That I was just going to ask. You know, ask yourself this week, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Mm-hmm. And if you serve, how can you ensure that you're not entering into a burned out, frustrated time? Okay. And how can you encourage others to either serve or listen? You know, we do need to serve some.
Yeah.
And we do. I mean, you know, we are supposed to be the hands and feet of God.
Yeah.
And that means serving.
Yeah. I was, one of the things that's tough when you're a pastor is you hear someone preaching and God will reveal something to you and you're like, oh, that'd be really good. But you don't want to usurp the other pastor's message. But I put something together because of the way you preached it that I want to share. So this comes out of your teaching, and it helped me to see it in a way I hadn't seen before. In John 12, there's a story where Mary washes Jesus' feet with perfume. And the way that you taught it actually opened it up to me in a way that I hadn't seen before. See, because Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she knew who he was. And I have said this before when I've preached that passage, that Mary understood what no one else understood, that Jesus meant it when he said he was going to die and in 3 days rise again. And she was, it says in there, leave her alone, she's preparing me for my burial. Mary understood because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. The reason she did that in John 12 is because she experienced this in Luke 10. And she knew when Jesus said he was going to die and rise again, there was something about her listening to him that intently that helped her to see what the disciples didn't understand until well after, even I think at the resurrection, they were still questioning. She understood before it happened because of that. And it's interesting, in that John 12 passage, it says they gave him a dinner and Martha served. But it doesn't say Martha fretted about the details. There was something different about Martha there and different about Mary there that was possible because of what they learned in that passage. And you helped to bring that out. And so I'm excited to share that because that's something you did for me to help me understand the scripture better.
Thank you. And again, like I said, as pastors, I mean, and I saw some of you shaking your heads. Yes, we serve. I mean, sure, you serve at the clothes closet. And yeah. I know it's a constant thing. And sometimes we can go, oh, man, yeah. I mean, somebody go get me a Coke.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Bring me a cup of coffee or something,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I have one little student who constantly, and I finally had to say, okay, go sit back down, please. I'll let you know. Because she comes up, she goes, can I do anything for you? Can I do anything for you? It's just like a puppy dog just wagging that tail. And I love that. But yeah. She wants to serve. And I told her, I said, you need to go sit and rest. I was actually preparing for this. I said, you need to sit and rest. And think about what's coming up. And she, okay. And I kind of thought about that. You know, Mary and Martha were two different things. I'll tell you, that's me and my sister as well. Opposite ends of the spectrum. I don't know which one serves and which one sits sometimes. I think she'd probably say I'm the lazy one. But I mean that lovingly too.
Yeah,
but,
right.
We just have to find that balance. And that's why I do encourage, I mean, I spoke to a pastor a few weeks ago, and I just said, you've got to enter into a time of rest.
Yes.
You have to, for your own self. You've served for so long, and diligently, and faithfully, but it's time to rest. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, you know, next week I'll be going on my rest.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. I'll be 5 days by myself on a cruise ship. I'm excited about that because I'm taking things to work on. We've talked about
it.
It's going to be my time to just listen without the hubbub and kids hollering or dogs barking or going anywhere else. It's just me. Yeah. Am I a little worried? Yeah, because I know when my brain gets quiet, sometimes it goes the wrong direction. But we just have to take that time. So I encourage you, don't feel guilty if you're resting.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't feel guilty.
That's right. And don't feel guilty, too, if you've been serving all this time and have forgotten to rest and you were just reminded.
Exactly.
This isn't about you living in shame because you did it wrong.
No.
This is about you recognizing there is a better way. And one of the things that we do here at The Jar is when we hold you accountable, we want to do so in an encouraging way, not in a judgmental way.
Exactly.
We want you to know that there is a better way, but we're not wagging our finger at you and saying, how dare you do it this way this long. We want you to recognize that there's a better way. But until you do, we love you and we appreciate everything that you do. And we want you to know that grace covers even the inability to rest. So, good stuff. Thank you so much.
You always do a great job. Welcome.
It was really good today. And our hope for you guys is that you know you are spoken for. That God loves you so much that if you were the only person on this earth, he still would have come and died for you. But you're not the only one. So go tell someone else. Thank you for listening to The Jar. We want you to know the foundation of all this teaching comes from my book, Rethink, which is part of a series called Finding Hope, Faith for the Frustrated. And it's for those people who love Jesus, but they're struggling with the church and trying to understand where they fit inside the faith. It can be found on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can ask for it at any bookstore. We ask that you would think about buying a copy and exploring further what it means to rethink your faith and follow Jesus with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength.